invite you there to take your Bibles, if you would, and turn with us to 1 Peter chapter 4. 1 Peter chapter 4 tonight. And again, promise not to keep you long tonight. It's more of a devotional thought that the Lord gave to me this afternoon. But I thought it would be encouraging to us tonight, especially in light of how many folks we have on our prayer list and how many folks are seemingly in need of prayer. But 1 Peter chapter 4, and notice there, if you would, beginning at verse number 12. 1 Peter chapter 4, beginning at verse 12 down through verse number, we'll just see where we stop. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 12, the Bible says, "Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened unto you. But rejoice inasmuch as ye are partakers of Christ's sufferings, that when his glory shall be revealed, ye may be glad also with exceeding joy. If ye be reproached for the name of Christ, happy are ye, for the Spirit of glory and of God resteth upon you. On their part he is evil spoken of, but on your part he is glorified. But," verse 15, "let none of you suffer as a murderer, or as a thief, or as an evildoer, or as a busybody in other men's matters. Yet if any man suffer as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God on this behalf. For the time has come that judgment must begin at the house of God, and if it first begin at us, what shall the end of them that obey not the gospel of God? And if the righteous scarcely be saved, where shall the ungodly and the sinner appear? Wherefore, let them that suffer according to the will of God commit the keeping of their souls to him in well-doing as unto a faithful Creator." For a few moments tonight from this passage, just like to give you this thought: joy in hard times. Joy in hard times. There was a fellow years ago by the name of Edward Slavens. And Edward Slavens, when you talk about troubles and trials and tribulations and heartaches and sorrows and all the rest, well, if anybody knew about such things, it would be Edward Slavens. He had a father who died when he was very young. He had both a brother and a sister who also died, but as infants. And yet, as Slavens went on, if you know and read up on his history, you find out that throughout his life, one of the things he never lost was he never lost his faith in God. He never lost his faith in the Lord. And as he grew up and as he was dealing with these, I believe what the Bible here calls it in verse number 12, the fiery trial. As he was dealing with these fiery trials, this young man, Edward Slavens, he'd grow up to be a preacher. He'd grow up to become a songwriter. He would go across the Midwest of the United States, and all throughout the Midwest, he would hold revival meetings and revival crusades, and no doubt, possibly drawing on his own painful experiences. One of the songs that Slavens wrote was the following. He said, "You can have a melody down in your heart when it's aching, almost breaking, even though the sorrow makes the teardrop start. You can have a melody down in your heart. You can have a song in your heart in the night, after every trial, after every mile. Anyone can sing when the sun's shining bright, but you need a song in your heart at night." And here in 1 Peter chapter 4, we find Peter writing this epistle, and he's dealing much with suffering. If you go and you read all the way back to chapter 1, all the way through chapter 5, you find the theme of suffering to be a very prevalent theme throughout the book of 1 Peter, and even into 2 Peter to a small degree. But notice there again, 1 Peter chapter 4, and I want you to notice something there. First, in verse number 16. The Bible says, "Yet if any man suffer as a Christian." I want you to realize something tonight, that just because we are Christians, just because we are saved, just because we know the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior, just because we have a new name written down in glory, just because we know beyond any shadow of doubt where we're going someday, that does not excuse us from the trials and the tribulations and the heartaches and the sorrows of life. You go back up there to verse number 12. You notice what Peter says there. He says, "Beloved, think it not strange." Think it not strange. You know, sometimes I think, and I believe we even, as we, in our witness to a lost world, sometimes I think we maybe put the sales pitch on a little too much by making it seem like, well, if you just become a Christian, everything will become sunshine and rainbows and unicorns, and there'll be no hard days after you become a Christian. Well, I believe tonight, if we were to go around this room, we could all have accounts tonight of trials and tribulations after salvation, after trusting Christ as our Savior. And so Peter here, he's saying, "Think it not strange concerning the fiery trial, which is to try you." And I want you to notice that phrasing there. He says, "which is to try you." You might be saying, "Well, Pastor, I haven't had a fiery trial. I can't identify with this." Well, you notice how Peter says it, "which is to try you." You may not have had one yet, but if you live the Christian life any length of time, you will eventually find yourself in a fiery trial. But you notice there, again, he goes on, "as though some strange thing happened unto you." But then notice what he says there regarding these trials. Notice there, if you would, in verse number 19. "Wherefore, let them that suffer..." Notice what it says, "according to the will of God." I want you to realize something tonight. Our sufferings have a purpose. Our sufferings have a reason. We go through things because God has something in store. He has something in plan. We all know the verse, don't we? Romans 8:28. "All things work together for good to them who love God, who they're called according to His purpose." All things are going to work together for good. Now, what that verse, and we use that verse, we quote that verse, and it's a great verse. It's a verse of comfort, but you got to realize what that verse is not saying. That verse does not say all things are going to work together for your good, or all things are going to work together for my good. All the verse says is all things work together for good. And so you might be going through a trial or a tribulation or a heartache or a sorrow. And we have that promise from God through Paul there in the letter to the Romans that it's going to work together for good. It might not necessarily be your good, but good is going to come from it. You might be able to take that trial. You might be able to take that tribulation or that heartache or that sorrow, and you might just very well be able to help somebody else that's going through that same path of life, that same road, so to speak. And you say, but it didn't work together for my good, but did good come from it? And if you can look at it objectively and say, well, yes, good came from it, then God kept His word. God kept His promise. You know, it amazes me that you know, before we had to go on this journey with the dialysis, and you know, you don't realize just how many people in the country and in the world, really, that they depend on something such as dialysis to keep them alive, to keep them going. And I remember back there in November and there into December where we had to, when I was in the hospital and had to go in center for the treatments there to get the antibiotic and to finish the antibiotic. And remember getting to talk to some of the other patients there, and there were people coming for dialysis here to Sayre from as far away as Corning, from as far away as I think there was even someone coming from Binghamton. Now, that's not because there's no centers in those places, but those centers are full, and those centers didn't have room, and so they had to come down here for treatment just to get their treatment. And that's, you know, some, you know, 20, 30, 40, so some up to an hour drive one way just to get treatment. And then depending on how you do, you know, you do on the treatment, some people, they get very tired on treatment. Other people, like me, praise the Lord, I kind of get a burst of energy and I'm ready to go. And when, you know, now I'm about the tail end of it, I'm ready to go home and find my bed and crash and go to sleep. It's been a very long day, but then you have that hour drive home and all this, you got to do that three times a week. And you know, it's very easy to look at a situation like that and, you know, sometimes say, okay, Lord, well, why me? And but then as we were, when Mandy had her surgery here, we had to do another in-center treatment, a couple in-center treatments. And as I was getting ready to leave that one day, the nurse came up to me and said, hey, we have this fellow in the next room. He's about to start on home dialysis, and he has some questions. He's a little bit scared. Would you be willing to, you know, go in there and talk with him? And so went in and talked to him. And, I mean, right away, we just, you know, hit it off. And apparently he collects Funko Pops. We collect Funko Pops. And now his we have nothing on his collection. He has 4,000 Funko Pops. You know, we have about 300 Funko Pops. And so, you know, you do the math there. But, and so, you know, he had about 20, 25 minutes left on his treatment. And I'll tell you, that 20, 25 minutes just flew by. But we were able to talk with him and visit with him and answer some questions he had. And then before I left, and because you got to be very careful, especially when you're in a hospital setting and, you know, how you go about, you know, sharing your faith and especially when you're a patient and you're not in a capacity as the chaplain or whatever the case may be. So you got to be very careful because some people might get offended or whatever the case may be. But I just reached in my pocket, pulled out one of the church cards, and I said, well, now listen, if you have any more questions and or, you know, or you want to talk about Funko Pops or whatever the case may be, you know, here's my phone number. Feel free to give me a call anytime. And he takes his card and he looks at it and says, oh, you're a pastor too. And so we had that little open door. But I say it all that to say this: all things work together for good to them that love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. You know, it might not work together for my good or your good necessarily, but the Bible says good will come from it. And you notice here in verse number 19, it says, according to the will of God. God has a purpose for the trials and tribulations. He has a purpose for the fiery trial. He has a reason for why it is you're going through what it is you're going through. He has a reason. And, you know, we think about, you know, oftentimes we talk about, and I can take you to Job. Job's perhaps my Job and Nehemiah, my favorite two books in the Bible. And we can go to Job and we can see Job's reaction to his trials there in Job chapter 1. But for sake of time, we won't do that. But we see here that, you know, sometimes you think, well, you're obviously going through a trial because of some sin in your life. And we can't discount the fact that, yes, sometimes we go through trials because of sin in our life, because of things of our own making. But, you know, we can go to, and I don't have it written down, but just thinking about it tonight, the the man who was blind from birth, right? You remember that account? You remember that story? And all the people come and they say, well, why is this man blind? Well, what has he done? What has his parents done that he should be born blind? And what did the Lord Jesus say to him? That he might glorify the Lord. And, you know, sometimes we go through trials, we go through tribulations to see just how we're going to respond. Are we going to glorify God? Are we going to glorify the Lord? In fact, notice there, if you would there, verse number 16. Yet if any man suffer as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but notice what it says, but let him glorify God. But let him glorify God. You say, I'm going through something tonight. The best thing you can do is glorify God. The best thing you can do is praise God. The best thing you can do is praise the Lord. And you notice there again, verse number 19. Wherefore, let them that suffer according to the will of God commit the keeping of their souls to Him in well-doing, as unto a faithful Creator. Oh, tonight, not only is it the will of God, not only does He have a plan, not only does He have a purpose, but tonight, if you know Him as your Savior, we have a promise tonight that He keeps you in well-doing. He keeps you right where it is you need to be, as unto a faithful Creator, because He is a faithful God. And when we're going through trials and we're going through tribulations and we're going through heartaches and we're going through sorrows and we're going through all the rest, He is still faithful. And praise Him for it and honor Him and glorify Him because of it. And so again, here in verse number 12, we have this encouragement. Think it not strange concerning the fiery trial, which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened unto you. And then we have all those verses kind of sandwiched in the middle. Verses 13 and following, talking about verse 13. But rejoice, because as you suffer, you are now partakers of Christ's suffering. Verse 14, if ye be reproached for the name of Christ, happy are ye, for the Spirit of glory and of God resteth upon you. On their part He is evil spoken of, but on your part, here it is again, He is glorified. You see, tonight I want you to realize something, and it's this. The circumstances of our life do not dictate whether we have joy. You see, we can be experiencing great hardship. We can be experiencing great suffering. We can be experiencing even great persecution. And no matter what it is we're facing, we can still be joyful. Not because of what we're going through, not because of who we are, but we can be joyful because of who He is. You know, tonight, joy is not found in what is happening around us. You know, that's why we talk so much about living by faith and not living by sight. Because if we lived by sight, man, we would never live with joy. But joy is not found in what is happening around us. But it is found in our relationship with God. Take your Bibles there and go over final portion of Scripture, Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4 tonight. Philippians chapter 4. And if you know anything about the book of Philippians, you know that this is written by the Apostle Paul from a prison cell in Rome. And notice from this prison cell in Rome what Paul writes. Philippians chapter 4, verse 4. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say, rejoice. Now you see tonight, Paul was not telling people to do something he was not already doing himself. You see, Paul knew joy in the midst of suffering. And tonight, whether we are facing opposition from others or just the effects of living in a fallen world, and that's very real as well. Sometimes we just, you know, sometimes we're just collateral damage of what's happening around us in this fallen world. But no matter what it is tonight, God is always faithful. And if we trust in Him, we will have joy. We can have joy, even on our darkest of days. And so tonight, as we think about joy in hard times, let me encourage you tonight to trust God's unfailing promises as He helps us find joy even in the most difficult times of life. Again, not because of who we are, but it's all because of who He is. And that's a faithful Creator who keeps us, who sustains us, who holds us. And because of that, we can praise Him and glorify Him and have joy no matter what it is that's going on in our life and no matter what it is going on around us. Let's pray.